You're listening to a podcast from Cancer.net. This cancer information website is produced by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as ASCO, the world's leading professional organization for doctors who care for people with cancer. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional medical care and is not intended for use in the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions. Guests on this podcast express their own opinions, experience, and conclusions. The mention of any product, service, organization, activity, or therapy should not be construed as an ASCO endorsement. Cancer research discussed in this podcast is ongoing, so the data described here may change as research progresses.
Hi, I'm Monica Sharla, an editor on the Cancer.net team and your host for today's podcast. In this episode, we're going to discuss two studies on patient experiences with clinical trials that will be presented at ASCO's 2019 Quality Care Symposium. This annual meeting brings together healthcare experts to share strategies for cancer care issues and integrate these methods into patient care. I have with me two oncology experts who will help us understand these studies and why they're important. Our first guest, Dr. Mary Jennifer Markham, is a hematologist at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Welcome, Dr. Markham.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we also have with us Dr. Neeraj Agarwal, who is a medical oncologist at the University of Utah's Huntsman Cancer Institute. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Agarwal.
A pleasure. Thank you.
So before we delve into the studies, I want to make sure we explain what clinical trials mean for any listeners who may not be familiar with the term. Can you provide a brief explanation of what a clinical trial is and how they are used in cancer care?
Yeah, of course. So if you look at the definition of National Cancer Institute, how the clinical trial is defined, that is a type of research study that tests how well new medical approaches work in our patients. And these studies test new methods of screening, prevention, diagnosis, or treatment of a disease. These are often called as prospective clinical studies. But I make it simple for my patients. I tell them that, to me, the definition of a clinical trial is how to get cutting-edge technology, which can be a treatment or a device, to my patients 5 years before FDA approval of that drug or a device. How to expedite availability of those cutting-edge technology to my patients is the definition I use for clinical trials.
Thanks. That's a great way to put it. So let's start by discussing the study that comes out of Seattle, Washington, where researchers looked at whether participating in a clinical trial helped people with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer live longer. Can you tell us a little bit about how this study was conducted, Dr. Agarwal?
Yes. So in this study, as you mentioned, was conducted in Seattle Cancer Alliance, consisting of University of Washington and Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, both based in Seattle, Washington. What the researchers did, they looked back at the records of patients with non-small cell lung cancer or simply advanced lung cancer who were treated in their institutions between January 2007 and December 2015. And they included 371 patients, one-third of those patients, almost 30% patients, were enrolled on one or more clinical trials. And other patients were not enrolled on the clinical trials. And they compared basically those patients. They looked at the survival of patients who were able to get on a clinical trial versus who did not. And very interestingly, patients who were enrolled on a clinical trial, their median survival was twice as much as those who did not get to enroll on a clinical trial. The overall survival in patients who were on clinical trial, who got to get treated on a clinical trial, at least one clinical trial, was 838 days compared to patients who did not go on a clinical trial, who only lived for 454 days. This is even more interesting, is because the researchers compared the patient's disease characteristics, demographic characteristics, and they made sure that patients were evenly distributed from those characteristics. So it's not that patients who had more aggressive disease or who had a higher history or longer history of smoking, they got to be on the control arm, which is that they did not get on the clinical trial. So patients in both groups were evenly matched for demographic and disease characteristics. So this basically tells me that if you get to enroll on a clinical trial, the overall survival is higher than if you do not.
And do we know why that might be? Why patients that were enrolled in clinical trials tended to live longer?
As I said, clinical trial allows me and my patients to have those technology or those drugs available to the clinic 5 years before FDA approval. Then that's the ballpark. It can be 7 years, it can be 10 years, it can be 3 years. But in general, 5 years is the mark I use with my patients. So if a patient is getting to be treated with a drug 5 years before the drug would be available by prescription, there is an advantage of time. Because if you look at the median survival of this patient population, there is no way they could have just waited for that drug to get approved and be available by prescription in the clinic. So I think that's a huge advantage that they had access to a drug for their cancers, which was not available to those patients who did not get to go on a clinical trial. I think that's the number one or the main advantage why the survival is so much better in the patients who got to go on a clinical trial.
Right. And the other study focuses on clinical trial enrollment. So statistics show that less than 10% of people with cancer participate in clinical trials. For this study, researchers surveyed 120 doctors and clinical trial research staff and also 150 cancer patients to try and find out why participation is so low. So, Dr. Markham, can you tell us briefly what the researchers found?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the things that is striking is that the number of patients who enroll on trials is so low, the percentage. And we know the barriers to clinical trial enrollments do exist. What this study showed, actually, was that the perceptions of what these barriers are really differed between the physicians and research staff and the patients. So, clearly, we didn't have a great understanding of the barriers on each side. I'll give you just a couple of examples. In this study, patients, more often than physicians or research staff, believe that trials are only available and only for people whose cancer is considered hopeless. We know that's not reality, but that's a perception that panned out in the study. Also, more patients, more so than physicians or staff, believe that clinical trials don't help an individual patient. And we know that not to be true. And I think the former study is a really good example of that, where in the prior study, participating in a clinical trial actually did improve survival. And then a third example is physicians and research staff in this study, more so than patients, were more likely to believe that patients decline a clinical trial due to either language or cultural barriers or due to a lack of understanding about clinical trials.
Where do you think these perceptions arise from that people have about clinical trials? Just going back to the couple of examples that you gave, for example, people thinking that clinical trials are only used when their disease is hopeless or that they don't actually help the patients themselves. Where do you think those perceptions stem from?
It's hard to know, but I think communication or lack of communication about trials or lack of enough communication about clinical trials is really a large part of the problem. I think that clearly this is evidence that we oncologists and cancer researchers maybe haven't done a great job or as good a job as we should be doing when it comes to educating our patients. I think this study demonstrates that we do have a lot of room to improve on the patient education piece.
Do you have any thoughts on some specific ways that people with cancer and their families can work together with doctors to communicate better about clinical trials?
I think the more education on the cancer or various topics that patients want to bring up in the exam room, the more preparation work a patient and a caregiver can do in advance of the visit, the better. Coming to an appointment with a list of questions about trials, for example, can really help to guide a conversation. I think that it's also a good idea to bring somebody with you to an appointment, and this holds true for other reasons, including listening in and having some extra, you know, set of ears there to hear important parts of a discussion about a cancer diagnosis or prognosis or treatment, but really helping to prompt questions about clinical trials may be useful. I think for doctors, a good way to open up this conversation is just with open-ended questions. Some of the things I like to ask my patients are, what do you know about clinical trials? Or what would you like to know about clinical trials? And this is really a good way for me as a physician to gauge the level of understanding of a trial at the outset. And I can gauge whether there's any perceptions or misperceptions that I can help to clarify. And it's a great launching pad for a discussion about clinical trials.
Dr. Agarwal, did you have anything to add about this study?
I think I agree with everything Dr. Markham just said. In my practice, I spent a significant amount of time when I see a patient for the first time who has come to establish care in my clinic on just orienting them on clinical trials, regardless of whether they are currently eligible for the trial or we have a trial for them or not. I just talk to them about the clinical trial. And that is a theme in my practice, even in nurse practitioner, nurses. The more our patients hear about clinical trials, I think more amenable they will be, or they are in our experience, to accept enrollment on a clinical trial down the line. But as Dr. Markham said, it's not only one doctor or one nurse or one nurse practitioner. I think it has to be a more holistic approach, educating at different levels, all the websites, as we discussed, you know, as we know of from cancer.net, NCI, clinicaltrials.gov, all those websites have great information on availability of a clinical trial for a given disease condition or a given stage of a disease. So I think all of those, our patients can be made aware of all those websites other than the orientation in the clinic. So I think this has to be a global approach, and which ultimately will lead to increased awareness and increased participation of our patients on clinical trials.
Thanks, and I appreciate you sharing some resources with our listeners of where they can learn more about clinical trials so they can be more prepared to have these conversations with their healthcare team. And just a quick note for our listeners, you can learn more about clinical trials on cancer.net by visiting cancer.net/clinical trials. And there's also a couple of other resources that Dr. Agarwal mentioned. Dr. Markham, did you want to add any other resources?
Sure. So cancer.net is definitely a great resource, and it's written in a way that is easily understandable. The other two that I would mention are the American Cancer Society's website and the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, or NCCN. Both of those have very good information about clinical trials in general. Clinicaltrials.gov, as Dr. Agarwal mentioned, also does, and can be a very useful tool at finding a specific clinical trial for a specific condition.
Great. Well, thank you both for taking the time to distill these studies and the takeaways for people with cancer and their loved ones. Is there anything else that you would like to note about either of these studies or about clinical trials in general that we haven't already touched on?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I would just add that I commend the researchers who did these studies and are getting their work published. I think it's important that we improve access to clinical trials as much as possible, and these two studies help to work in that direction.
I agree, 100%.
Great. Well, thank you both again for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Agarwal and Dr. Markham. You can find more research from recent scientific meetings at www.cancer.net. And if this podcast was useful, please take a minute to subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. This Cancer.net podcast is part of the ASCO Podcast Network, a collection of 9 programs covering a range of educational and scientific content, offering insight into the world of cancer care. You can find all 9 shows, including this one, at podcast.asco.org. Cancer.net is supported by Conquer Cancer, the ASCO Foundation, which funds breakthrough research for every type of cancer, helping patients everywhere. To help fund cancer.net and programs like it, donate at conquer.org/support.